Welcome to the VK7 Amateur Radio News for the 7th November 2021. At the mic of VK7WI this week is Peter, VK7PD. This broadcast goes out on repeaters all over VK7 and on digital radio, DMR Talk Group 5 and D-Star Reflector 91C by Clayton, VK7ZCR. We also go out on medium and high frequency, courtesy of the following rebroadcast stations. On 1.862 MHz by Graham VK7GS, on 3.67 MHz by Ross VK7ALH, on 7.14 MHz by Gary VK7JGD, on 14.13 MHz by Dale VK7DG, and on 28.525 MHz by Tony VK7VKT. You can hear this broadcast again on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RAA in Northern VK7 and VK7RTC in Southern VK7. Broadcast news. A 160-meter frequency change. Please note that the 160-meter broadcast of the WIA National News and VK7 Amateur Radio News broadcasts on 160 meters by Graham, VK7 Golf Sierra, is changing frequencies. It was originally on 1.865 MHz and is moving down slightly to 1.862 MHz. This is to avoid AM broadcast station intermods. A huge thank you to Graham for his broadcast each Sunday from the Mount Rowland area in the northwest of VK7. 73 VK7 AR News Team. QSL News. Report from Herman, VK7HW, manager of the WIA VK7 Inwards QSL Bureau. The current list of QSL cards held as at 4 November is in the email version of this broadcast. If you have any questions re QSL cards, please contact Herman by email, and the address is vk7bureau@wia.org.au. If you have any upgrades and or changed your call sign recently, please contact Herman to advise him of your old and new call signs. Thank you to those amateurs who have already been in touch advising me of new call signs and SK information. 73 Herman, VK7HW, WIA Manager, VK7 Inwards QSL Bureau. News from the North. SOTA WWFF Parks Group. The Summits of the Air Worldwide Flora and Fauna Parks Group is now meeting twice weekly. Mondays and Fridays 10:30 a.m. till 12 at the Glebe Gardens Cafe, Henry Street, Launceston. For more information, contact Al on 0417 354 410. 73 Al, VK7AN. Northern Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club Incorporated. You can tell summer is getting closer. We had a fantastic roll-up of attendees at Friday's coffee session in the club rooms. It was really great to see some members that we suspected must have been in hibernation, now out and about again. The fire was not required, so perhaps Sky Warmer can now go into summer recess. As usual, the tables offered a choice of goodies to eat. There was lots of chatter and noise. At times it was hard to hear the conversation, but overall, a great morning was had by all. News is light again this week, so we'll hand over to Idris, VK7ZIR, to bring you up to speed on happenings at last Wednesday clubroom night. A good start to the evening was the arrival of Peter, VK7KPC, with the military radio from his extensive collection, and Ross, VK7ALH, with the Drake T4XB transmitter from the 1960s. Peter's military radio was an Australian wireless set number 22 with matching power supply. Despite a very war-torn front panel, it was complete and in good condition internally. It even had a schematic diagram on the inside of the case. The matching power supply was also complete and in good condition. Peter has yet to apply power to see if it works. Good luck, Peter, and thanks for the presentation. Much discussion and interest there. Ross's Drake was first manufactured in 1965 as part of a transmitter-receiver pair with the receiver R4B, known as the Four-Line Twins. Chassis was copper-plated and the interior was like new. Cosmetically, the covers were perfect. Likewise, the front panel, definitely new old stock. Thanks, Ross, another classic. Stuart VK7 Echo Sierra brought along a friend, Rob, who operated a CNC laser cutter and had an interest in radio. He had questions relating to measuring the power of the laser cutter as they diminish with age. An interesting discussion ensued about the differences between laser cutters and high-pressure water cutters, where a laser cutter has to adjust its focus depending on the depth of cut. Mark VK7KMA brought in some schematics and information regarding our recent acquisition of the Blythe AM transmitter. This enabled Stuart to determine that the frequency could be either set internally or an external VFO used by changing a jumper in the control module. Stuart is testing the operation of the transmitter to assess its suitability for use on the 160 meter band. Meanwhile, in the workshop, Bernie VK7BR was conducting a demonstration on dismantling a microwave oven to retrieve useful components. One module in particular was being recovered for Trevor VK7TB to use in his Russian Tetrode project. Well done, Bernie. Another enjoyable and convivial evening. 73 Idris VK7ZIR. Thanks, Idris, for that update. Sounds like you all had a very enjoyable and fun evening. 2022 membership fees. Yes, with the year rapidly disappearing, it is time to start reminding all that your 2021 membership fee expires on 31 December. A letter advising of the fee payable for 2022 will be forwarded to all members in late November to the email address noted on our records. We confirm that the 2022 membership fee will see a slight increase to $40 for each voting member, with an additional unchanged $5 for each member of the family that the voting member wishes to add to his or her membership. Upcoming events: TestNet and TechNet. Wednesday, 10th November, TestNet CW course on 3580 from 7 p.m. till 7:30, and TechNet on 3567 from 7:30 till about 8:30 p.m. Your host for the evening will again be Nick VK7 Whiskey Whiskey. Equine Endurance Event. Saturday, 13th November, the NTARC Safety Communications Team has been asked to provide safety comms at the Tasmanian State Equine Endurance Championships at Merseyleigh. The rides will be 160 kilometres, 95 kilometres and 50 kilometres. The 160 kilometre is a 24-hour ride that starts at 000 hours Saturday. We will be providing base comms, checkpoints and RFID tracking. We will need additional crew members to handle this event, so if you can spare some time on that Saturday, why not pop down to Merseyleigh? A pleasant hour or so drive from Launceston and utilise your radio skills. Please advise if you're able to assist by emailing secretary@ntarc.net or catch up with Idris at a coffee session. Tech Night, Wednesday, 17th November at the NTARC Club Rooms, 19:30 hours until whenever. Future events. Plenty of notice this time. NTARC will be holding a Christmas dinner on Wednesday, 15th December, venue Mowbray Hotel. Meet time is 6 p.m. Tables have been booked under the name of NTARC. Menu is a la carte and there is plenty of parking at the rear. Please RSVP the secretary at either of these email addresses. news@ntarc.net or ypmaxwell@bigpond.com. Or jot down your name on the sheet next to the sign-in register on a Wednesday night session or coffee morning. We will need to confirm final numbers with the hotel on Tuesday, 14th December. So please ensure that you get your name on the list before that date. The attendee list is growing, so if you are planning to attend, please advise so that your name can be added. Coffee mornings, currently held every Friday in the NTARC Club Rooms. Catch-up time is from 10 a.m. to noon, and we look forward to seeing you all. These coffee events represent a good opportunity to collect your QSL cards. We currently have cards awaiting collection, so why not pop in and check the QSL box and join us for a cuppa and chat. Just a friendly reminder, please demonstrate your appreciation of all the effort that goes into operating the club, its facilities and the other services we provide, especially in these abnormal and very trying times. Enjoying the company, coffee, biscuits and cake by leaving a gold coin or two or even a small banknote in the jar. to assist in our ongoing operations. Finally, a reminder to all those members that if you have any items of news you would like added to our weekly roundup, no matter how trivial, then please email me at the following address, which is news@ntarc.net. All items to be received no later than 1700 on Friday prior to the broadcast. Your continued cooperation in this regard will be greatly appreciated. We will bring you all such contributions next Sunday morning. 73 Yvonne, VK7FYMX, Secretary, NTARC Incorporated. You're listening to VK7WI, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. News from the South, Radio and Electronics Association of Southern Tasmania. November presentation, Digital Voice Hotspots Wrap-Up. REST's November presentation was last Wednesday night and was all about Digital Voice DV Hotspots, with a focus on PiStar and OpenSpot 3. This was presented by Scott, VK7 Hotel Sierra Echo. Scott introduced us to ZoomSpot, OpenSpot 1, OpenSpot 3, PiStar hotspots that he brought along on the night. Scott then started to show the PiStar web-based dashboard. There was a description of the hotspots and whether they support DMR, DSTAR, YSF, C4FM, Fusion, P25, NXDN, and the OpenSpot 3 is the set-and-forget option for amateurs, although they are relatively expensive. There are simplex hotspot and duplex hotspots. Simplex hotspots can only receive and transmit one time spot or one mode at a time. DMR hotspot dashboard, the URL is vkdmr.com/hotspots. There was a description of the VKDMR network with the PiStar dashboard showing a DSTAR broadcast at the same time. Scott described the fact there is a 3-minute timeout timer on most digital voice repeaters, and therefore there are systems to drop the carrier every 3 minutes to reset the timeout timer, usually done with an Arduino switching the PTT line. VKDMR website, which is vkdmr.com. Scott described a dynamic setup of a hotspot where you can key up the talk group you want versus a statically configured hotspot where you can configure many talk groups. The hotspot frequencies in VK are 439.150 and 439.125 megs. The software on the hotspot can lock to your call sign only. The convention is that hotspots are single-user device. Hotspots are usually pretty deaf to reduce multiple users. Never put an amplifier on a duplex hotspot, as there are many spectral artifacts. The hotspot status webpage for VK was displayed, and Scott went through the VK showing on the dashboard and what things meant on the dashboard. Scott then threw it open to questions. First question was about MMDVM limitation of hotspots monitoring 5 talk groups per time slot. Scott described a scenario where monitoring too many static talk groups can lock up the hotspot and also flip to conversations on other talk groups, and you can miss the conversation you were on without some manual intervention. This is to do with the hang time on each talk group. You can use some smarts through the system cron to set up the PiStar hotspot to switch to particular talk groups. There are many advanced features on the PiStar. The Australia-wide talk groups are shown on the VKDMR website, which is vkdmr.com/using-DMR. Talk group 8 is set up to only activate VK7RAD, VK7RCR, and VK7RJG on time slot 1. There was also a Tetra description with 4 time slots in trunking mode across about 150 kHz bandwidth channel, like a cellular phone network in a UHF spectrum. A description was given about setting up your handheld for a hotspot, modifying a code plug. Scott then went into the jargon or lingo associated with DMR and the sequence to set up the configuration for hotspot operation. It, the zone, talk group, channel and contacts, the IOPEN GD77 project simplifies the configuration, and you only need to set up the contact, channel and the zone. The code plugs on the REST website are slightly out of date and will be updated when time permits. There was an outline of the Open GD77 project issues and how this was overcome by uploading the original firmware, then overload the updated firmware to overcome the licensing issues. There was a code plug discussion, and the feeling is that you stick with specific simplified structure that meets the local need. Each DMR network, namely VKDMR and talk groups 3801 to 3808, equals Bandmeister talk groups 5051 to 5058. These are linked between the DMR networks. There was then a demonstration of the timeout periods on each channel on the DMR hotspot dashboard. Scott discussed the differences between a hotspot and a repeater and the differences between the Yaesu DR1X and DR2X repeaters. There is a distance limitation of DMR to 32 kilometers, which is limited by the TDMA timings. D-Star not being a TDMA mode, the distance issue does not exist. If you have multipathing, DMR radios will most likely not work. Scott outlined his opinion of recovered audio quality. Is P25, NXDN, C4FM, DMR, then D-Star. The DMR specification came from Europe to improve spectral efficiency, as there are two time slot channels in the one frequency. This is the same with P25, which is another TDMA mode. There was a discussion on sending text messages over the DMR DV network, which is possible if the repeaters are configured to support. On the amateur networks, most configurations drop any packets other than the digital voice packets, so texting may not be available. Scott finished by announcing that VK7 RAD has just been put on the VK7 YSF C4FM network, courtesy of Peter Brennan and Scott's work. A huge thank you to Scott for his presentation. The video of the night is available on the REST YouTube channel, and please note the first 4 minutes of audio is missing due to a technical issue, which is rectified after 4 minutes. 73 REST Committee Training and Assessment. REST next Foundation License Course and All License Assessment Day is on Saturday, the 27th of November 2021, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. If you are thinking of coming along, then please let Red Gemmet, VK7KK, REST Learning Organiser know as soon as possible that you will be coming along by phoning 0417 391 607 or email assessor@reast.asn.au. Check out the REST Foundation license training videos that can be found on the REST YouTube training and assessment playlist. Check out the REST Facebook page for further details. 73 Reg, VK7 Kilo Kilo. DATV Experimenters Night. This week we get back underway with our DATV Experimenters Nights, Wednesday, 10 November from 7:30 p.m. and we will be exploring RF resonance in more detail with some interesting hands-on equipment with grid dip oscillators and how we use crystals and resonators with resonance at high stability. Keep an eye on the REST Facebook events for more details. And a reminder that we go out on RF on 445.5 MHz DVB-T 7 MHz standard definition. So if you have a TV, set-top box, or USB DTV dongle that you can tune and scan 445.5 MHz and you can see the Queen's Domain, then you have a good chance of receiving the DATV Experimenters Night signal. Look out for VK7 OTC. We also stream the nights on the REST YouTube channel. 73 Justin, VK7 TW. You're listening to VK7WI, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. Software News. WSJTX 2.5.2 released. We are pleased to announce the general availability GA release of WSJTX version 2.5.2. This is mostly a bug fix release. A full list of changes can be found in the release note. Important, if you expect to use the JT65 or Q65 modes to make weak signal QSOs, that involve a non-standard call sign, be sure to upgrade to WSJT-X 2.5.2. Links to the WSJT-X 2.5.2 installation package for Windows, Linux, and Macintosh are available at the link on the email edition of the broadcast. WSJT-X is licensed under the terms of version 3 of the GNU General Public License, GPL. Development of this software is a cooperative project to which many amateur radio operators have contributed. If you use our code, please have the courtesy to let us know about it. If you find bugs or make improvements to the code, please report them to us in a timely fashion. The authors and copyright holders of WSJTX request that derivative works should not publish programs based on features in WSJTX before those features are made available in a general availability, GA release, of WSJTX. We will cease making public release candidate, RC, pre-releases for testing and user early access purposes if this request is ignored. Bugs will be reported by following instructions found here in the user guide. We hope you will enjoy using WSJT-X 2.5.2. 73 from Joe, K1JT, Bill, G4WJS, Steve, K9AN, and Nico, IV3NWV, via Tim, VK2XAX. Propagation news. Auroral propagation. Whilst auroras can disrupt many forms of radio communications, radio amateurs are able to use auroral backscatter radio propagation to make contacts over distances of around 800 kilometers and more. Visible auroras are magnificent to view, but they also give an indication of great activity on the sun, and they can result in huge changes of the radio propagation conditions. For the HF operator, these auroras can be the sign of a complete shutdown of the HF spectrum as the absorption levels in the ionosphere rise. For the VHF DXs, they can present an opportunity of an abnormal form of propagation. The visible auroras give an indication of the activity that is occurring in the upper atmosphere, which manifests itself as a radio propagation auroral event. Good antennas are essential when using auroral radio propagation. Directional or beam antennas are required, and these should be rotated towards the auroral zone, that is, to the south in the southern hemisphere. Signals are then reflected back, that is, using backscatter. This means that the beam heading for the optimum signal will not be in the direction of the station being contacted. It is found that signals that have been propagated using auroral radio propagation are distorted, and this means that the voice transmissions can be very difficult to copy. The wider the bandwidth, the greater the problem, and therefore SSB is the best voice mode to use. Although copy is difficult, naturally Morse code is good because it occupies a much narrower bandwidth and is very resilient to distortion. However, even this becomes distorted, having a very rough tone superimposed onto it. This can vary from one aurora to the next, or even during the course of an event. Typical signals flutter very rapidly because of the changes occurring in the ionosphere. This flutter can even be so fast that it appears as a low-frequency tone or buzz up to 50 or 60 Hz. In addition to the distortion on the signal, it is also subject to a Doppler frequency shift. This is caused by millions of plasma particles entering the ionosphere. Each is a minute point for reflection and has a different velocity. This means that the Doppler shift has a spread of frequency shifts, resulting in the very distinctive hissing sound. As a general rule, the average frequency shift on the 144 MHz amateur radio band is about 0.5 kHz. In summary, auroral propagation can be a fascinating and rewarding form of propagation for radio amateurs. It provides an interesting means of making radio contacts and has the advantage that it can be used at times when the propagation conditions on the HF radio bands are likely to be poor. As no special equipment is used, it makes an ideal way in which to make radio contacts on an occasional basis as the conditions arise. sourced from the Electronics Notes Webby zine. Regular VK7 gatherings over the coming months. Regular gatherings. SOTA WWFF Group. Meeting Monday and Friday, 10:30 to 12 midday at Glebe Gardens Cafe, Henry Street, Launceston. NTARC, Friday coffee session, Rochalie Club Rooms, Launceston from 10 a.m. NTARC Tech Night Sessions, Wednesday, 17th November, Rochalie Club Rooms, Launceston. NTARC Testnet and TechNet, Wednesday, 10th November, Testnet CW course on 3580 from 7 p.m. till 7:30 p.m. and a TechNet on 3567 from 7:30 p.m. till about 8 p.m. NWVK7, Wednesday from 2000 local, Northwest Tassie Amateur Repeater Group Net on VK7 RMD. NWVK7, Thursday commences at 0930 UTC, 2030 local, NW Tassie 2 meter DXNet 144.190 USB upper sideband. Reached microwave QSO party following after the Sunday broadcast on 1296.15 MHz FM. Reached WAGs Wednesday afternoon group meet at the Queen's Domain Club Room from 12 noon. Reached DATV Experimenters Nights from 7:30 p.m. live in the club rooms, also on DVB-T, RF and YouTube streaming. Sewing Circle Net daily on 3.640 megs commencing at 6 p.m. AEDST. Events NTARC 15th December, Christmas dinner at Mowbray Hotel from 6 p.m. Let Secretary know of coming along. A reminder to those people rostered for next week's broadcast. Newsreader VK7RI. Repeaters Reist, NTARC and in the Northwest thanks to NWTARC, West Coast Radio Group, Cradle Coast Amateur Radio Club, VK7AX and VK7DC. 160 metres, VK7GS, 80 metres, VK7JGD, 40 metres, VK7DG, 20 metres, VK7TPE, 10 metres, VK7VKT, DMR Talk Group 5 and D-Star Reflector, 91C, VK7ZCR. You can hear this broadcast again on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7RAA in Northern VK7 and VK7RTC in Southern VK7. A huge thank you to all people and organisations that assisted with this broadcast. That concludes our VK7 Amateur Radio News broadcast for this week. You've been listening to or have just missed VK7WI. Next week, the national WIA news can be heard at 0900, followed by the VK7 amateur radio news around 9:30 hours. Items for the broadcast can be emailed to vk7arnews@gmail.com. Further information about the broadcast can be found on the VK7 amateur radio news.io group. The deadline for items is 2100 on Friday prior to the Sunday of the broadcast. VK7WI is now closing, but will reopen shortly for callbacks and relay reports. Callbacks will be taken on the frequency to which you are listening. Relay stations will use their own call signs during the callback. On behalf of the VK7 Amateur Radio News team, it's 7-3 from Peter, VK7PD.